Mark chapter 8, a very familiar passage of Scripture, and I feel just impressed to emphasize it today. And beginning of verse 34, this is the words of Jesus. And when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." This scripture has tremendous impact. If you listen to it, it can be a tremendous warning. You know, I'm glad we have a God that loves us enough to warn us. And he does. No one will warn you like somebody that loves you. Sometimes we don't like warnings, but warnings are needful because the stakes are very high. And I don't know if you value your soul, but God does. Your soul is precious. I want to talk to you today about saving your soul. Your soul. God values your soul so immensely, so wonderfully, that the ultimate sacrifice was paid for you and me, our souls. We're going to distinguish this today so you can understand a little bit about what there is about you that is so valuable. And I hope today you can value your own soul. Some people don't even value themselves, you know. And that's a shame because God has gifted you with life. And you should appreciate that. And you should do everything you can to be everything God meant for you to be. It's a shame to fall short. That's what sin is. Sin is falling short of the glory of God. That's what it is. It's missing the mark. It's just being status quo instead of being what God wants you to be. I'm just amazed how many celebrities are dying. Young. Either by accident, suicide, drug overdose, or whatever. What is it if you gained the whole world and then you lost your soul? What would you have? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Really? And I don't know with all their spiritual conditions. I don't know if they knew the Lord. But it's sad to go for fame for a moment and then to lose it all. I want to pop up a scripture here if we can. It's there. And if you'd pop that up right now, I want to show you a very unusual scripture. Ecclesiastes. Look at this scripture. "But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope." Now notice this last part. "For a living dog is better than a dead lion." Get that? Now I know a dog wouldn't want anything to do with a lion if he was alive, right? But when that old lion is dead, I can just see that dog going up there and sniffing him. Huh? Walking around him, curious, you know. The dog has the upper hand, doesn't he? The dog is alive, and the lion, for all the strength that he exercised, he's dead. And being dead, that means he has no more power. He has no more expression. Well, it's the same true with human beings. Once you die, you remove yourself from the living. "But for him who is joined to all living, there is hope." And you know what? Is there hope for us today? Turn to somebody and say, "There's hope." I'm alive. And thank God I am alive. I might be a dog, but I'm a living dog, right? I'm better than a dead lion, right? Amen. And so the tragedy of losing your soul, I can't stress this enough. You know, I know there's been a doctrine around, people have taught that your soul is eternal. It is not eternal. There is something about you that is eternal, but it's not your soul. You can lose your soul. In fact, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, "Don't fear man, but fear God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You can absolutely lose your soul. And I think sometimes it's not even after death. I've seen people, I think, lose their soul while they're still, their heart's still pumping, but they've really lost that little special piece called the soul that God created us with. Amen. And so our composition, the way we're made body, soul, and spirit. I think everybody knows that. The Bible talks about it. Body, soul, and spirit. But really, in importance, it's the other way around. The most important part of you is your spirit, and then your soul, and then your body. We always say body, soul, and spirit, but really the most important part of you is your spirit, and then your soul, and then your body is the least important, okay? And it's important that we understand, because when God is spirit, that's what God is. Spirit means life. God is life, okay? There wouldn't be any life if it were not for God. And when God created man, he breathed, and the word breath is the same as spirit. God put a spirit into the man. He breathed into his nostrils, and when he breathed into him, he became a living soul, which means he now had a personality. He had a uniqueness about him. He had a creativity about him. He was unique. He was the crown of God's creation. He was God's masterpiece. God says, that's good. Adam had a personality, right? He wasn't cookie cutter. He wasn't like everybody. Eve had a personality different than Adam's, right? And for a while, God said, that's good. God likes variety. And that is what he put in you. You have not only a spirit, but you have a personality. You have a soul. You have a soul that can express itself, that can talk, communicate. Humans have this ability like no other animal to do and to speak and to express ourselves. But we're on a deadline. This comes and then it goes, right? And you got to develop. You got to make sure that you save that unique part of you that God created. He loves it. He loves your personality. He made you unique. Now, I'm not here to tell you God likes everything about you. He's got something in mind, doesn't he? He wants to take that uniqueness and make it what he wants it to be. Amen. And so the soul is that unique part about you. But when man fell, you know, God said to Adam and Eve, the day you eat of that tree, you will die. Didn't he say that? I wonder what kind of a human beings Adam and Eve were. They must have been amazing, right? Before the fall, the Bible says they were naked and were unashamed. They weren't conscious of their bodies. They talked with God in the cool of the evening. It must have been a while. He named all the animals he could name. His memory must have been wonderful, because he could name all the animals and remember every one of them. What a mind. What a personality. What a masterpiece that God created and breathed into them, and they became living souls without shame, without condemnation whatsoever, without any deterioration in their being. Can you imagine that? What wonderful creatures they must be. But God says, in the day you disobey, you will die. You will lose that. I wonder what songs Adam and Eve, how they could sing. I wonder how they could praise God in the garden. I wonder how they could communicate with each other with such love and such expressions. I wonder how they held hands and could say things and sing together and enjoy the creation and the wonderful things and look at the trees and see the glory of God all around them. They just saw everything. Everything was beautiful, right? But in the moment that you eat of that tree, you will die. And something died. And something was diminished in them. And I will say, something has been passed on down to us, has been diminished in us. And we're not what we were meant to be. Amen. I do it this way, Brother Darrell. He could say this better than me, but we're wired for 220 and we're running on 110. People aren't what they meant to be. Their possibilities are much more. Amen? Amen. The Bible says you were dead in your trespasses and sin, right? Ephesians chapter 2. We're dead. People are dead. There's something that's just lifeless. And now, instead of being God conscious, we're body conscious. How do we see things? Oh, we see things body, right? What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to wear? What do I look like? That's the big things in the people out here in the world, right? They're all concerned about that. They're not concerned about their sin. They're worried about their skin. They're really not worried about their spirit. They're really not worried about their soul, even though it's so precious. And they're not really feeding it. They're not taking care of it. They're not seeing to it that their soul can be saved. Amen. How do we express ourselves now that we've fallen? Well, not very well. Fallen man expresses himself with anger, with frustration, right? With worry, with fear. All these are the expressions of a dead man walking. Amen. He's just all out of sorts. He's not in sync with God's creation. He can't remember anything, and he can't love like he should love, and he can't be what he ought to be because he's dead. That's why the Bible says you must be born again. You need the breath of God, the Spirit of God, to come upon you and to breathe life back into you. Amen. And give you life. You got to have it. Amen. So you can really be the person God meant for you to be. I thank God for all the personalities we have here in this church. Every one of you got one. And it's precious. You don't have to be like me, thank God. I don't have to be like you, thank God. But there's a certain spark and a uniqueness that God has given us. And when he rebirths us again, he enhances that variety. And we live unto him, and we're alive, and we're not so conscious of me and mine, but we're conscious of God's people and God's kingdom and so forth. And he gives you a new way to express yourself. Aren't you glad for that? You know, I haven't always been a church guy. I was a boy like Chris here, sitting on the bench like a bump on a log, couldn't wait for church to get over with. Chris, that isn't you, huh? Okay. I was dead. I was a preacher's kid, and I was dead. Sat in church, thinking about something else all the other time, thinking about me. But I thank God for the day when he breathed life into me. Amen. And he loosed me. You know, I could use the excuse, well, I'm not very expressive. Oh, yes, I am when I want to be. You can be expressive at the ball game, can't you? Get him! But come to church. We're so sedate. Really? You know, God came to give you expression. And the quicker you learn that young, the better off you are. Because when you get old, you get a little sedimentary. You get to where you don't, you know, raise my hands. Oh, come on, that hurts. Dance before the Lord. Oh, mercy, that's out of the picture. I'll be on the floor. And we lose this ability to express. You see how hard it is for people sometimes to even show love to one another. Difficult, isn't it, for some? They have a really hard time to say, I love you, and really mean it. Or to go out of their way and express themselves in some godly way. Amen. God gives us wonderful opportunities, and I thank him for breaking loose in me. I needed to be rebirthed. I needed that. I don't want to stay that old sedimentary person that just wants to be stationary and just be solemn and be sad and self-pity. Thank God he delivered me from that person. Amen? Amen. And I just want to say that you have to exercise that soul now. The soul needs the body to express itself. And you're not going to keep your body. Your body's going to die. And if you don't use exercise and save your soul through your body, your soul will die too. What I'm telling you today is now is the time to save your soul. Now is the time to express yourself. You know what? Because there's going to come a time when you won't be able to. You understand what I'm saying? You will be a corpse. And your soul will be a corpse unless you have developed your soul unto godliness, unless you have worshiped the Lord as you should worship him, unless you pray now like you should pray, right? You plan on singing someday in heaven, you better start singing now. You won't be singing then if you're not singing now. You understand what I'm saying? This is the time to learn. This is a time to assemble yourself in the house of God. This is a time to go to church. It is. This is the time to do all those things that you will never regret doing. It's when you don't do them that you'll regret. There's two scenes in the afterlife in the Bible. And one is about the rich man. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man had all of his good things. He didn't pray, did he, when he was living? But when he found himself in hell, he started praying. Now, praying to the wrong one. He was praying to Father Abraham, wasn't he? And he said, Father Abraham, just let Lazarus come and just touch my tongue. Abraham said, oh, we can't answer that prayer. Well, would you send somebody to my five brothers? No, we're not doing that either. You see, he waited too late. He lost his soul. Losing your soul is like being locked in a closet, screaming your lungs out, and nobody's listening. And that's a scary scene, isn't it? It really is a scary thing to think that you could lose your soul. The rich man lost his soul. But there's another scene in Revelation chapter 6, the fifth seal. It's a state of the righteous, of the martyrs. And John said, I saw the souls of those under the altar, and they were alive. They had their bodies had perished, of course, but their souls were very much alive. And they were crying out, oh Lord, how long till you avenge our blood upon those on the face of the earth? And the Lord says, hey, you just wait just a little bit. And says, white robes were given to them. I don't know what a soul looks like. I don't know what that looked like. John said, I saw souls. And white robes were given to those souls and told, you're not forgotten. You keep on. I do think that the dead in Christ are very much alive. I like what I think it was Moody said. Moody said, when you hear that I have died, he said, don't believe it. I'll be much more alive than I've ever been in all my life. I'll be with Jesus. My soul will be with Jesus. And I'll be singing and shouting and praising the Lord like I've never done it before. Amen. Jerry, now's the time to give out the hoop. Hallelujah. Amen. Now's the time to do it. Now's the time to get your hands up in the air. Now's the time to sing his praises. Amen. Now. Not somewhere down the line, but give full expression to the Spirit that God has put in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus lives, does he not? And he makes intercession for us. I do think there's something going on in the spirit world that we don't even understand. I think there's stuff going on with even with folks that have left the good saints of God. They're over there watching us. They're over there helping us. They're over there rooting for us. Amen. Amen. They're very much alive unto God. Amen. We don't see it, but they're there. They're very much alive. Praise God. You know, we're going to come to the communion table today. You might be able to say, I didn't gain the world, but I did gain eternal life. Eh? I wasn't famous, but who cares? Fame comes and goes. But I did get Jesus. I did get real life. I gained my real self, and I'm alive, and I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. Amen. That's what your regenerated soul. You know, a sad word I read this when I was doing my devotion. John chapter 8, Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. I can't imagine how terrible that would be to die with a load of sin on your back, taking you all the way down to the judgment seat and to hell beneath. You will die in your sins. You know, that's unnecessary. Jesus said, you can believe in me and your sins will be forgiven. I just want to say, I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but take care of your soul. Let the Spirit of God flow through it and become something. Become that expressive person that without a doubt we might know that you love Jesus. Without a doubt we might know that you're a part of the family of God. Amen. Amen. Come to the communion table in faith and believing that he has washed away all your sins, that you can go into eternal life without one sin stain on your life. What a wonderful privilege. What a wonderful joy. Amen. Amen. That's why we baptize people. Baptism is a type of laying aside the old and bringing forth the new, dying with Christ and then being raised to new life in Christ Jesus. That's why we do it. Praise God. So let's come to the communion table today. I ask the worship team if you'll come right now. I ask the brethren to come and let's just come and believing that he has paid the price for my soul. What did David say? David said this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Now, you can't let the stereo do that for you. You can't let your cell phone do that for you. You can't just say, well, I listen to Christian music. No, you make music. Well, I watched a church service on YouTube, and they all had their hands up, and they were praising God. That doesn't matter. What about your hands? What about your voice? Amen. Let's stand, shall we? Let's praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough to redeem our soul from destruction, to give us full expression, Lord, as we ought to. Oh, Jesus, you're wonderful. And we bless you. We come under your atonement. We come because you loved us to give yourself, your body, soul, and spirit. You poured it out that we might be born again, made new. Lord, we come to follow you and not to be ashamed of you or of your words in this adulterous generation, Lord. Amen. We come because you've given us life, an eternal life through you. And we receive it today, Lord. Thank you for your spirit that breathes upon us and that gives us that personality, gives us the emotions and the affections that we need. Thank you, Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.